See all of you again this evening. My little recorder's working tonight, so maybe I'm in good shape. I'm glad Rick got a happy nappy. I'm sure there are some others that got a happy nappy, and you're ready to come together and study from God's Word tonight. In John chapter 10 and verse 24, the text tells us, "Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.'" Tell us plainly. You know, that's what we need. It's just good old-fashioned, plain preaching and teaching. And that's how Jesus taught the people. He taught them plainly. And some, even then, were unwilling to hear and to follow him. If we go into the next few verses, verses 25 through 26, 27 rather, it says, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So Jesus says, "I'm talking plainly, but you don't want to hear because you don't want to follow. And you're not following because you don't want to hear." Isn't that the way it is today? People, and in my lifetime, I've had people say, "Well, I want to study the Word of God with you." Well, when you start studying the Word of God, they tune it out. And they don't want to hear what you have to say if it's coming from the Scriptures. They want to hear what man has to say. So when we talk about plainly, what does it mean? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is tell us plainly. The word plainly, or the idea, means openly, with bold confidence. And that's how we ought to preach. That's how we ought to live our lives, and allowing Christ to be the example that people see in us as we live. We should live openly and with a bold confidence because of our faith in him. And that's how our preaching and teaching has got to be characterized. When people come to hear the gospel preached here or sit in the Bible classes here, they need to hear it taught plainly. They need to see you living plainly when you go out into the world to do your 9-to-5 jobs, as it were. They don't need to hear $10 words and a $2 message. And not that I'm putting the message of God lightly, but it's plain, it's simple, and it's easy for anyone to understand. And when we wordy it up, it makes it difficult. And you have heard preachers like that all of your life. So I want to talk to you tonight about how the gospel must be spoken plainly. And what I mean by that is without reservation. It needs to be spoken completely. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders there, as he was journeying back to Jerusalem, he talked to them and he told them about how he expounded to them the whole counsel of God. He didn't hold anything back. And he was with them for the span of about 3 years. And he said, "I didn't hold anything back." You know, I had a teacher one time, and I told him, I said, "I want to know everything you know about this class." And he said, "I'm not going to teach you everything I know." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because then I won't be the teacher." He's, in his mind, the teacher's got to always know more than the student. But you need to know everything I know, everything the elders know about the Word of God, because it's open and it is plainly taught. Paul the Apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, he says, "I didn't hold anything back. I told you everything that God wants you to know." But Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, that some people are not going to endure that. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hold up under that kind of preaching, telling everybody what the whole counsel of God is. Oh, no, no, no. Stop right there, Jeff. I don't want to hear that. So if we start calling a sin, and calling these things that are sinful by name, people say, no. Don't do that, because that's hurtful. I like living my life out here the way the world says that it's okay. Even though God condemns it, brethren, we need to preach that sin is still sinful. Regardless of where the chips may fall, preach it in its simplicity. Preach it when people like it and when they don't. And we've got to, as Ezekiel teaches in Ezekiel 2, verses 3 through 8, that it's got to be done. We've got to preach the plain truth of God's word, whether people accept it or reject it. But also, when we speak it plainly, not only without reservation and completely, but with openness and frankness, speak the truth. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 and Ephesians 3 verses 3 through 5, that's what Paul explains here. Be open about the truth. And it's like he said to the Ephesian elders, I didn't hold anything back. I preached the whole counsel of God to you. We need to make practical applications. When Jesus would speak and speak in parables, that's what he's doing. He's making a practical application to the message and using things that they can understand and relate to. The parable of the sower, the parable of the tares, and the list goes on. When he used the parable, it was something, I can understand that. I know what you're talking about. He made practical applications, things that were pertinent in their lives. And then, like I said a moment ago, we need to preach it plainly without wordiness. I've sat in audiences and listened to preachers use $10 and $20 words when a $2 word would suffice. There's no need for that. Jesus didn't use that. Jesus didn't use a $20 word in talking to blue-collar people. Now, if I'm going before a lectureship and I'm preaching to nothing but PhDs and professors, then yeah, I might have to wordy it up a little bit so they could understand it, because in my old plain country boy language, they're not going to get it. You know, I've told you in the past, before my son-in-law became my son-in-law, he came to listen to me preach. His parents, when he was born in California. And he doesn't realize it, but he still got a touch of California in him, even though he was raised in Antioch, Tennessee. And I would talk and I'd preach. And I used an analogy one day I had my hand injured and I said, I had a hard time hemming my food up. What do you mean, hemming your food up? A hem's in your pants leg. He said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I said, okay, it's a Southernism. So the next week he comes to me, oh, I got you figured out. I know how to understand you now. He pulled his cell phone out. He says, I have an application on my phone. I said, I know what an app is. I said, so what did you put on your phone? He said, I put a redneck dictionary on here. He said, I know how to understand you now. But see, I put things in terminology to where older folks are going to get what I'm talking about. Old Southern folks, Southern people are going to understand a lot of times what I'm saying. Hemming my food up, I know what that means. It means I couldn't take my cornbread and push it up on my fork. I had a difficult time. And he didn't get it. But see, Jesus spoke in those terms to his people. He spoke about things that they could relate to. And that's how we've got to do the word, how we've got to use the word of God. A lot of people tend to dazzle with what they know about the word of God, but they don't edify people. And they don't save people because they walk away scratching their head. I don't know what you said. I don't have a clue what you preached. Your sermon was here and I'm way down here. Folks, we got to bring ourselves down here when talking to people. I heard a woman one time that was part of a choir in college. And she claimed she had to dumb down her singing so that she could sing with everybody else. We don't dumb down the gospel. We preach it in its most simplistic form and just preach the truth. But when we add these flowery words, as I like to call them, we tend to cause men to be impressed with the messenger rather than the message. And then we need to preach it plainly, without fear and without favor. Don't be afraid of what men might say. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Don't be afraid to preach the truth. Don't hold back because someone in the audience might be offended by preaching about a particular sin. Preach it. Whether they like it or whether they don't, preach with bold confidence. Don't be afraid, as I said. Boldness is not brashness. It is the calm confidence of a faith that is grounded in truth and not human wisdom. And that's what God expects us to do, to speak His gospel with certainty. Philippians 1 and verse 28. And then we need to do it publicly. Don't be afraid to let people know where you stand on the truth. Don't be afraid to let people that you work with know where you stand on the truth. Who knows? That may be a door of opportunity that God has opened for you to bring people to Christ. If you look at passages like Acts 26, in verse 24, as Paul is on his defense there, he made his defense to Festus. And Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Or I think the King James says, hath made you mad. Paul was before kings. And when he was converted, that's what Christ told him. He said, you've got a job to do. You've got a job to go before kings and rulers, preaching my gospel. Paul says, beginning in verse 25, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Notice what he says, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this was not done in a corner. He says, Festus, you know what I'm talking about, and yet you're wanting to deny it. Isn't that the way of the world? People read the Bible enough to know what it says, but they don't want to do it. You try to convince people about baptism. Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Yeah, but that's not what I want to do. My Bible doesn't read that way. Well, it does unless you cut the page out. Unless you've done something to erase it from the pages of your Bible. But we have to publicly proclaim the Word of God. And sometimes that publicly proclaiming the Word of God is just by the way we live. The example that the world sees in us. So how must the gospel be spoken? Plainly. Now let's ask the question, why must the gospel be spoken plainly? Well, you go back to Acts 20. And Paul explains there that he didn't hold anything back. That his whole purpose was to teach these elders how to serve God. But why must the gospel be spoken plainly? Because belief in salvation comes from plain Bible teaching. You're not going to save people if you use a wordy sermon. Because they're going to walk away scratching their heads saying, I don't know what he said. And I have sat in on lectureships. When I worked for Cooks, we used to have to do these yearly training sessions. And I had done that job for almost 25 years. And these people, they had PhDs in bugology, okay? In how to kill cockroaches. You might think that I'm making that up, but believe me, there used to be a guy in the entomology industry, they called him Dr. Cockroach. because he had a farm, not an ant farm, but a cockroach farm in his basement to learn how they live and to learn what was the best way to kill them. Now, how many of you wives would allow your husband to have a cockroach farm in your basement? Marilyn wouldn't. Not a bit. But when you listen to these people speak, you don't understand them. You can't understand them. And even though you've been in the industry for almost 25 years and they use language that you can't understand, it's frustrating. And you know what the problem is? You don't learn a thing. You don't learn a thing when they put it in words that you don't understand. And here it is supposed to be a training session. And how can it be a training session, a learning session, when you can't understand what they're talking about? We don't need to make the word God like that. It needs to be plain, because that's where people's salvation comes from. That's the plain teaching of the gospel is what saves people. You take Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. The Spirit sent Philip to the chariot, remember? And Philip went up to the chariot and says, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone should explain it to me?" Well, you know, Philip, he didn't have a PhD in theology. He didn't have a master's degree in religiosity. He didn't have a bachelor's degree in how to speak publicly. But he went, he sat in the chariot, and he picked up where that man was studying and taught him about Jesus. And he was successful because the eunuch asked Philip, "Here's water, what hinders me? Why can't I be baptized?" "I know what you're talking about, Philip. I understand the plain teaching." And folks, he was studying in Isaiah. Spiritual growth and strength comes from speaking plainly the gospel of Christ. That's how we encourage one another. You read through the 1 Corinthians letter, and that's what Paul is doing, is he's encouraging those brethren to grow spiritually and to strengthen one another, to speak, to be understood, so that people that are listening are strengthened in their faith. Preaching that is not understood, that's useless. If you don't understand what the preacher's saying from the pulpit, you're wasting your time here, and he's wasting his. But we preach to understand God's will. That's how we grow spiritually, and that's how we're strengthened in our faith, by understanding the will of God. Remember Nehemiah this morning? As Ezra began to speak the Word of God, to read the Word of God, the leaders from the tribes came and they studied more so that they could go out and teach others about what God's law says. We need to read the Word of God and help people understand it the way they did. And that's what they did. We need to discern the truth from error, right from wrong. And that's what we're told. That's what Paul told Timothy. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. Rightly dividing. Knowing what's right with God's Word and how it condemns the world. And folks, it might condemn something in our lives. And we speak it plainly because it's to live with a sure hope when we speak plainly the Word of God. So what must we speak plainly? Well, everything that is spiritual is profitable. That's why Paul said, "I didn't hold anything back. I proclaimed the whole counsel of God to you." The whole counsel of God, chapter 20 and verse 27 of Acts. Not our opinions, Not my personal preferences, but we need a thus saith the Lord for everything that is said and done. A thus saith the Lord. We need to preach the words of faith, the good doctrine. For example, what do we preach? We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 1 talks about that He is the one that God uses in latter days to tell us His plan. He used the prophets of old in various ways and diverse ways. But now in these latter days, in these last days, He uses His Son to tell us what He desires of us. We preach Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. We preach about sin, and we preach about salvation. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 and Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we preach about personal sin. And we preach about personal salvation, Mark 16, 15 and 16. We preach about faithful, godly living, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And notice Paul says that is our reasonable sacrifice. Our reasonable sacrifice, not to live like the world, but to be transformed, to be different from the world, to live that faithful and godly life. You see, we live in a time where there is a crisis of spiritual apathy. People in this land, they could care less about what the Bible says. There is neglect and indifference on their part, and we have to correct it. If we don't correct it, then we will be lost just like the rest of the world. We have to preach Jesus. We have to preach sin and salvation. We have to preach about faithful, godly living. We have to preach about Bible authority. If we don't have Bible authority, then we're preaching whatever we want to preach. We're preaching whatever man wants us to preach. In Matthew 28, Jesus said at the beginning of Matthew's account of the Great Commission in verse 18, that all authority, He said, all authority has been given unto me unto heaven and earth. When you do a word study of that word authority, it means He has the right to demand, the right to command, and the right to expect us to do what He said. Did you catch that? The right to demand us to obey Him. Now let me ask you this. Some of you have children. Some of you have had children. We had dinner with our son last night. And his number three son, his third one, has developed an attitude. So they tell us. We didn't hear much of it. But he'll get in the car and he'll say to his daddy, I don't think you can drive. Who taught you how to drive? Daniel boiled water over trying to fix spaghetti. You can't cook. Who taught you how to cook? I don't think you can cook. He's getting his just rewards, okay? Daniel is. Because Daniel had moments like that growing up himself. But people in the world look at the Scriptures much the same way. You can't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. You can't tell me that my adultery is wrong. You can't tell me that my forsaking the assembly is wrong. You can't tell me that my foul language is wrong. My cursing is wrong. You can't tell me those things. Bible authority. If God said it, we obey it. End of story. If God said, don't do it, we don't do it. If God says to do it, we better be doing it. Talk about simple preaching. Bible authority. We have to preach the truth plainly about the Church of Christ. A lot of people say, well, y'all the only ones think you're going to heaven. You know, and I thought about that a little bit today. In light of some of the visitors that we had, I just, what if somebody comes to you and says that? Well, y'all, some of them Church of Christers, y'all think y'all the only ones going to heaven. And you've heard a lot of jokes from people over the years about that. How do you answer them? I mean, there's more than 3,000 different religious organizations in the United States today, probably closer to 6 or maybe even 12. How do you answer them? You're right. Well, let me tell you, that's going to turn them off real fast. How do you answer these people? Well, you have to back up to the point before this, to Bible authority. And you ask them, well, what religion are you? What denomination are you? And for example, if they say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, where's your authority for instrumental music? Well, the Old Testament. I'm not an Old Testament Christian. I'm a New Testament Christian. I look for my authority in the New Testament. And my answer is always this. The Church of Christ is the only one that I can find that does the closest to doing what God says do. Are we perfect? Not by any stretch of the imagination. Are we trained? Absolutely. We're working hard to do only what God tells us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And then we have to preach about the errors of men, plainly speaking that. As I said a moment ago, when Paul spoke to young preacher Timothy, there's going to be some that don't want to hear what you got to say. And then we got to preach about our eternal life and preach it plainly. And in the same breath, we have to preach about the sinner's eternal death and preach it plainly. You know, the Bible, throughout Jesus' speaking, and even when Jesus was transfigured and at his baptism, God spoke. Remember? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And the book of Revelation tells us multiple times, he who has ears, and Jesus said it himself, he who has ears, let him hear. We've got to be attentive. We've got to pay attention to what's being spoken. And we've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. The Word of God ought to be a lamp of truth that is shining for all to see, and it needs to shine through us. We've got to have ears that are willing to tune in to what God's Word said. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. We've got to have a heart that is reverent to the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And we've got to live a life that obeys the Word of God after we have heard the truth. Plainly spoken, plainly heard, plainly listened to, and plainly obeyed. So the question is, are you going to obey it? You going to believe it? If you believe it, the plain, simple teaching of God's Word, then you have to obey it. Or are you like the rest of the world and going to reject it and be eternally lost? You see, our aim is to teach God's Word so that there is no misunderstanding. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 33, we read, and when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Meaning that God's Word has been spoken. When people are around us, do they know that the Word of God is living in you? You see, only the gospel of Christ has the power to save. And right now, if you're here and you haven't accepted that power in your life to be saved, we urge you to do that. We urge you to be saved right now. You've heard the plain teaching of God's Word. You've had Scripture spoken to you tonight. So if you're here, you've never put Christ on in baptism, this is an opportunity for you. But it may be that you've done that and you've gone back into the world. Plain obedience. simple obedience is all that's required. That's all that's asked of you by God. He doesn't ask for something elaborate for you to do. He doesn't require you to go to someone to pray over you like a priest or something like that. He just expects you to come to Him humbly with an open heart. The invitation song says, just as I am. He wants you to come.